ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
the so-called teachers or leaders of material society do not really know the whole
They are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Pratignana, in Bhagavad Gita 7.15. They appear to be very learned scholars, but actually the influence of illusory energy has taken away their knowledge. Real knowledge means searching out Krishna. Vedesya sarve aham eva vedya. All Vedic knowledge is meant for searching out Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. Janmadi Ashriyata. In Bhagavad Gita 10.2, Krishna says, Aham Adi Ki Devanam. I am the source of all the demigods. Thus Krishna is the origin and beginning of all the demigods, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all others. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are concerned with satisfying different demigods, but unless one is very advanced, he cannot understand that the original personality is Sri Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. After hearing the instruction of Narada, King Brahishma came to his senses. The real goal of life is to attain devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king therefore decided to reject the so-called priestly orders that simply engaged their followers in the ritualistic ceremonies without giving effective instructions about the goal of life. At the present moment, the churches, temples and mosques all over the world are not attracting people because foolish priests cannot elevate their followers to a platform of knowledge. Not being aware of the real goal of life, they simply keep their congregations in ignorance. Consequently, those who are well educated have become uninterested in the ritualistic ceremonies. At the same time, they are not benefited with real knowledge. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very important for the enlightenment of all classes. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parishman, everyone should take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement and abandon the stereotype ritualistic ceremonies that go under the garb of so many religions. The Goswamis from the very beginning differed from the priestly classes that was engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. Indeed, Srila Sanatana Goswami compiled his Haribhakti Das for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas not caring for the lifeless activities of the priestly class take to full Krishna consciousness and become perfect in this very life. This is described in the previous verse as Paramahamsa Sharanam, taking shelter of the Paramahamsa, the liberated soul, and becoming successful in this life.
Leaders of the society, and he's
specifically mentioning this word Maya Vidurnam. So this is the first section that we're speaking about leaders of society. The second thing Sri Prabhupada talks about in the purport is what is real knowledge. The third thing Sri Prabhupada speaks about is devotional service. And the fourth thing he emphasizes on is devotional institutes. And specifically he mentions, he compares the devotional institutes to this Krishna consciousness movement, which is this form. So he's very specific about how the devotional institutes should facilitate the adultery. What the leader should be, what is real knowledge, what is devotional service and devotional institutions. So he's quoting this verse, which is interesting. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Nama Dushkritino Mura Prapatyante Naradama Maya Vitagnana Ashuram Bhava Ashraya. So Krishna is saying there are four kinds of miscreants who do not surrender unto me. The first one is Mura, the second one is Naradama, the third one is Maya Vitagnana, which Srila Prabhupada is quoting here as the leaders of society. And the last one is Ashuram Bhava Ashraya. So let's try to understand these four categories. The Mudas, who are the Mudas? So the Mudas are basically grossly foolish. They are like ash-like people, it is mentioned. In the purport to that verse 7:15, it is mentioned. These Mudas are ash-like. They work all day hard, very hard. And especially this applies more to out of the four ashramas, it applies more to the Brihastas. Of course, one can become diverted in any of the ashrams, but because Rastas have got this facility, enjoying propensity, it's very easy for them to digress from the spiritual path. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, they are like ash-like people. They are ash-like people. And they work very hard for a little bit of grass. And at night, what do? They like to sing. They think they are good singers. So when they sing, they get beaten by the owner because it's disturbing for everyone. And when they try to have interaction with the opposite partner, then they get kicked on the face. So this is S-like mentality. So day and night they are struggling. Whole day they are struggling for a little bit of grass, and at night they have been kicked and beaten by the master. So this is assignment, and this is specifically Krishna is saying they are mudas. And it is yesterday another here very nice mentioned a very nice point. How one should not forget the goal. Especially in Grihastha Ashram, it is very easy to forget the goal. What is the goal of the ashram? Therefore, W's, which especially Grihasthas have facilities to. The first W is wealth. The second W is women. The third W is wine, intoxications, different intoxications Grihastha has access to. And the fourth W is well wishes, like the children and relatives. So all these four W's basically take them away. And it is interesting, I was reading a few and hearing one of the classes, especially Keshav Prabhu mentioned in this class, the most intoxicating of all these W's is what? It was mind or woman. It is wealth, which the Grihasthas have access to very easily. Because as one of the duties of the Grihastha Ashram is to accumulate wealth, earn wealth, which the other ashrams don't have. So while earning wealth, one becomes possessed by those wealth. One thinks it is mine, and one tries to enjoy that wealth, and he becomes intoxicated with that wealth. So one has to be very careful. Kunti Maharani offers a prayer in 1st and 2nd chapter, Janmeshwar Shruta Shivir, Idamana Madhaguman, Nagaratya Vithatu Vaitvam Akinchana Bhojana. So Janma, Aishwarya, Shudra and Shivir, these four, one does not have control of Janma, one does not have control of Shudra and Shivir. Beauty, wealth, beauty, birth, high opulence, and knowledge. So one is born with those things, but wealth financially. And when Kunti Maharani says Akinchana Gocharam, she is not mentioning that one has to give up his beauty, one has to give up his high birth, one has to give up his intelligence. No, the thing Akinchana Gocharam is one has to be give up his wealth. So only then he will be able to understand, perform devotional service with intelligence. So it is very important that how one, especially in the Grihastha Ashram, how one utilizes his wealth. At some point every devotee has to, and it is important, it's not that one should stop earning wealth. If the wealth is coming by its karmic relations, it's not, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, take my photograph with all the wealth coming to me. Whereas he saw the photograph of one sannyasi, he is renouncing the wealth. Srila Prabhupada said, take my photograph and I'm welcoming all the wealth. And he said, if you give me $1 million in the morning, by any means I'll spend it all. So this is the way a devotee thinks. He accumulates wealth, but he utilizes the wealth in devotional service. And as Grihastha, it is important that one accumulates. It's interesting that yesterday one of the devotees called me. And he said, I have got 5 properties now, and I'll sell the 3 properties and pay off my 2 other properties. And by that, I'll get a regular income and I'm ready to retire. So, this is how one should plan actually. It is important that one should plan in such a way that he mentioned like last 10 days he has been working really hard to pay off all this 5 properties. And now he's ready to retire. And he can just work 1 or 2 days, but other days he can do devotional service. So as a Grihastha, it is important one plans his life in such a way where he can retire early. He's just in his early 40s. So which is interesting. If somebody can do that, one should make such plans. But we see Mudha, again we come back to this. what Mudha. People in material life, they are struggling so hard, they are suffering, but they still are trying to engage in materialistic activities. The second term Krishna mentions is Naradhama. So Nara means humans and Adhama means the most fallen, the lowest of all the human beings. And we know there are 8.4 million species of life. Out of this, 400,000 are human species. And in those 400,000, the lowest of all the species is Naradhama. It is mentioned, Prabhupada in that purport mentions that the humans are supposed to be civilized. But if one is not civilized, then it is Naradhama. And if this kind of people will never be able to establish their relationship with the Lord. It is mentioned, it's interesting, Prabhupada makes the point that 99.9% of population today are in this category of Naradhama. They are the lowest, the most uncivilized. It's interesting, yesterday there was news. In India, they opened up, the first thing they opened up after the lockdown was
liquor
shop. And just in one state, Rajasthan, there was 196 crore rupees worth of liquor sold in just 2 days. That is equivalent to, I calculated, 40 million Aussie dollars. Just in 2 days, that much of liquor, 40 million Aussie dollars worth of liquor was sold in Rajasthan, just in one state. And there were videos shown how people were fighting for liquor. So they all, like, we can understand. The first thing, and Rajasthan, if you know, is very close to Govardhan. So, Rajasthan is very close to Govardhan. It shares the border. The Kuchli part of the Govardhan falls under Rajasthan. So, one could have imagined after suffering what would a person do if he has got a little bit of sense? To do a golden parikrama. But here people are run for liquor. So, as Prabhupada explains, and Prabhupada is mentioned in this purport, of this verse, 99.9% of people today are Naradhama. They are completely lost, they are the lowest of the human beings. And it's interesting, why would any government open a liquor shop first?
Government demons.
Actually, not. Of course, they are demons, it's mentioned, but they want people to sit at home, because if they drink, then they will just sit at home and lie down. Because right now the problem with countries like India and China is how to keep people at home. This was one of the issues back 50 years ago when televisions were introduced in US. The whole purpose of television was to give them as many channels so that people who are jobless, who are not occupied properly, they can sit at home and watch television. So again, the government is playing the same game, because they don't know how to engage people in the emotional side, so they are pushing people into material side, because they understand that these people are Naradhamas. And of course, the leaders are also of the same category, they cannot think anything higher. They engage them into intoxication, they engage them into television, they give them channels, so the people sit at home and don't spread the knowledge, spread the virus. So these are the Naradhamas. And the third category, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, is the Mayavritta Jnana. And Prabhupada mentions this Mayavritta Jnana are the people who are intellectual people. They are not like Naradhamas or Mudas. They are intelligent. And Prabhupada says these are the people who are great philosophers, poets, literates, and scientists. But because their knowledge is stolen by Maya, illusion, they are not able to understand that supreme goal of life is to surrender on the Supreme Personality of God. So that is why they don't surrender. Because of their knowledge, they become proud of their knowledge and they don't surrender on the Supreme Lord. And not only that, they even misguide the other classes of people. So misguide them, because the other classes follow these people, because they are intellectual, because they can influence people. All the gentle masses of people follow this Mayavritta Jnana, but this kind of people, they misguide them, because they themselves don't know the supreme goal and they consider themselves to be supreme. So that is why they misguide others. And the last category is the Asuram Bhava Ashrita, as the name suggests, Asuram. So they are atheists. They are completely against the supremacy of the Lord. In fact, they want to kill the Lord. So they are the last kind of people. So this is how Srila Prabhupada in the first section is explaining how these four kinds of people, the leaders of society who are into these four kinds of categories, they don't surrender on the Supreme. And then Srila Prabhupada makes the point, real knowledge means searching out for Krishna. Vedesh sarva aham eva vedyo. It's quoting 15.15. So what is real knowledge? So in that verse, Srila Prabhupada makes this point that real knowledge brings one to the knowledge of three things, samandha, abhideya and pravijana. So by attaining real knowledge, what will happen? One will understand his relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that is the first thing which will happen. One will know who Krishna is. By all the knowledge, one has to come to this realization. That is real knowledge. The knowledge that we know today is books and newspaper. How many of us have read yesterday's newspaper? Probably no one here, some of you, yeah, right? If the same newspaper comes back again, how many of us will read it? Right? Probably one more person will read it. If the same newspaper comes tomorrow, how many of you will read it? Third day, no one, right? Fourth day, fifth day, if you every day the newspaper, in olden days they used to come and throw the newspaper at your doorstep, right? That was the days I don't know, we just click on the website. If you click on this website, Times of India, see that every day it's the same news. After 4 days, we'll stop looking at that website. Isn't it? Because the news only lasts for, it's only interesting if it's fresh, it only lasts for 24 hours. So you see, the paper that they use for newspapers is the lowest quality of the paper, the most recycled, like 5 or 6 times it has already been recycled. It's the lowest because the people who are printing press know that this is useless after 24 hours. People don't even use it as tissues, like they are the worst kind of paper, right? They have been recycled so many times. And the ink that they use in the newspaper is the worst. If you rub your hand a few times, your hand will become black. So that's kind of ink. The lowest quality, lowest grade of ink and paper is used in the newspaper. Because it's only worth for 24 hours. After that, it is bent. It is not even recycled. After that, you can't recycle the newspaper. So, why? Because that is not real knowledge. It is useless after, but we see Srimad Bhagavatam, we see all the scriptures, they have been the same for years. For ages they have been the same scriptures, and we don't become bored by hearing those same pastimes again and again. So this is Sambandha, so they establish the Sambandha, they establish the relationship of the living entity with the Supreme. They tell you about the process, Abhidaya. So any knowledge which does not tell you about the process of attaining the Supreme is useless. Anyone has become enlightened by reading newspaper? Right. We haven't heard anyone write, this many people died, I'm enlightened now, I should renounce this world. No, even though we have sympathy towards all the... Because in newspaper you see, there are only 4 topics mentioned, birth, death, old age and disease. Nothing else is mentioned. So nobody gets enlightened by reading these 4 things from newspaper at least. So the process which, the knowledge which gives you the process of attaining the Supreme is the real process, Abhidaya. And then the Pravajana, any knowledge which gives you the real goal, and what is the real goal? Attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is real knowledge. So these are the three, and this is Srila Prabhupada makes his point about these three things in the Vedic Sutra in 1515 Prabhupada. So what is real knowledge? And Prabhupada says the real knowledge is searching, it's searching out for Krishna. It's interesting, as soon as you hear this word, searching out for Krishna, you remember of this pastime where the gopis search out for Krishna. I'll read a bit of paragraph from 21st chapter of 10th canto, and that's Venu Vida. The gopis glorified the song of Krishna's flute. So the gopis declare to see Lord Krishna playing his flute while taking the cows to pasture is the highest perfection of the eyes. What pious activities, and now they are complaining, what pious activities has the flute performed that they are able to freely drink the nectar of Sri Krishna's lips? Blessing, we coward girls find difficult to attain. Hearing the song of Krishna's flute, the peacocks dance, and all the creatures, they just look at this, Krishna's flute and Krishna, and become sun. Demigoddesses travel through the sky in their aeroplanes and vexed by Cupid, and their garments become loose. The ears of the cows stand on the end and they drink the nectar of Krishna's flute. And their cows simply become stunned with milk in their mouth which they had drank from the udder of the mother, and they are not even swallowing, they just become stunned, they stand there. And the birds take shelter of the branches of the tree with their eyes closed and raptly hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. And the flowing rivers become perturbed, and by continual attraction for Krishna and stopping their flow, they embrace Krishna's lotus feet with the arms of their waves. And while the clouds serve as parasols to shade Krishna's head from the heating sun, the aborigine woman of the Sahara race, seeing the grass stained with red kumkum, adorning the Lord's lotus feet, smearing that powder upon the breast and faces to alleviate the distress created by Cupid. And the Govardhan Hill offers grass and various kinds of fruits and roots in worship of Sri Krishna. So, and all the non-moving living beings take on the characteristics of moving creatures, and the moving living beings become stationary. These things are all very wonderful. So, there's a nice description of how just by hearing Krishna's flute, everything that is movable becomes stationary and becomes stunned, and everything that is immovable, they start moving. It is also explained in that section that even the birds, they are flying over the forest of Vrindavan, and as soon as they hear the sound of the flute, they just stop flapping their wings and become stunned, and they just fall on the ground straight. So this is the explanation, and we have heard this thing so many times before. But still, whenever you hear this, whenever you read this, it feels ever fresh. It is not like the newspaper, where we think, oh, I know this. So this is the difference between knowledge and real knowledge. And there is another, in the 29th chapter, how Krishna and the gopis, like in the 29th chapter, Krishna again takes this flute. At that time, the gopis are sitting in their house. This is the autumn season. It's nicely explained in that section, how the autumn season comes and how Krishna influences his yogamaya and decorates the whole Vrindavan. So, to make the atmosphere pleasant, and the whole description is given of the autumn season. At that time, Krishna plays his flute, and what happens? Krishna's spiritual energy, yogamaya, makes arrangements so that the gopis who are sitting in their houses in Vrindavan, they immediately leave everything and come to the forest. It is explained that some of the gopis are being stopped by their husbands and children and family members. Those gopis, Krishna makes arrangement that they leave their material body in the house and they come into the spiritual. Now you have to understand, all the gopis and residents of Vrindavan are spiritual. They're fully spiritual, there is no duty of material. But just for the pastime's sake, Krishna makes arrangement that the gopis leave their material body with their family members and they're able to come to the forest. And when they come to the forest, what does Krishna do? It is explained nicely there how the gopis, when they arrive, they have not been dressed properly, they have worn ornaments in different places, in the wrong places, and they come after. As soon as they hear the flute, they leave everything that they are doing, feeding their children, family members, serving husband, they leave everything and they come to the forest. And as soon as they come, what does Krishna do? Krishna says, why have you come here? What made you come here? This is forest, and there are many creatures who can kill you. There are all wild creatures are here in the forest. It's not appropriate for the chaste lady to be talking about dharma now here. It is not appropriate for chaste lady to be present at this time of the night with some other person. And he also talks about tattva. He is saying that moreover, one can develop pure love for me just by meditating on me, by hearing my pastimes, by worshipping my beauty. So he is talking dharma, he is talking tattva, and somehow he is trying to convince the gopis. But what happens? There are two kinds of gopis there. Now all the gopis have come here. So there is left wing gopis and right wing gopis. And we know the right wing gopis are more submissive. The left wing gopis are not. And Krishna appreciates the mood of both the gopis. So the right wing gopis, and they are a little bit shy and they cry like, Krishna, you have called us. And now you are asking us, why have you come here? Why did you play your flute? Like they are submissively saying that. And the left wing gopis, they are very angry. And they are giving reply to Krishna. They are saying that it is unfair for you to call us here and then reject us. And you are being unfair. You are not fair. And they are saying, what is the use of serving our husbands if what is the use of serving our husband? Because it does not relieve our pain. And just by serving you, so they are giving the answer to what dharma and tattva Krishna had mentioned before. So, just by serving you, it is the topmost service that a living being can do, and he can fulfill that true religious duty for the self. And what woman will not deviate from her prescribed duty as soon as she sees you and hears your flute? So this is how they are giving answer to Krishna. So then there is a whole pastime how the Nisargas takes place, and at one point each of the gopis is becoming, as Acharya has mentioned, a little bit proud, thinking Krishna is dancing exclusively with me. I have got Krishna exclusively. And at that moment Krishna disappears from the side. So when Krishna disappears, it's interesting, all these gopis are searching in the forest for Krishna. Where is Krishna gone? And they become so much intoxicated by separation from Krishna and the remembrance of Krishna, that they start enacting Krishna's pastime. So there is so much into Krishna consciousness, really Krishna consciousness, they become so conscious of Krishna that they themselves enact as if they were Krishna and perform all the pastimes of Krishna's killing the different one of the gopis becomes the asura, Putna, and the other gopi kills the asura, so that there is a rasa which comes out here and they can remember Krishna. So at that point some of the gopis, while they are going in the forest searching out for Krishna, asking Tulsi Maharani that you must have seen Krishna because you are so dear to Krishna. And then they come to a point, there is a place in Vrindavan called Peta. Anyone has been there? Peta? Yeah, it's Peta, but this Peta is a different place. This is the place where the gopis come. At that point they see the Narayan form of Krishna. So that is still, I think that is the only deity which is Krishna in the four-handed form. That is the beautiful deity of Krishna in four-handed form. So Krishna is hiding in the bushes, and when the gopis come, Krishna appears himself, changes himself as Narayan form, four-handed form, Mahavishnu form. And when the gopis come, they pay their obeisances, oh, Narayan is here. Pay their obeisances, and when Lord Narayan asks them, what do you want? Now we have to understand who Lord Narayan is. He is the maintainer, creator and destroyer of this world. When he breathes, exhales, all the universes come out of his body. And when he inhales, all the universes go back into his body. So you can ask for whatever you want, rasgulla, rasmalai, whatever you want. You can ask for, right? Samosa, everything that you can think of, you can ask for. Because just by his exhale, the multiple millions of universes come out. So this Narayan comes in front of the gopis, what do they ask for? Have you seen Krishna? So this is what real knowledge means, that you don't want anything else but Krishna. So they ask for, have you seen Krishna? Can you tell us where Krishna is? And Lord Narayan, of course, is Krishna himself. So he just points in one direction and all the gopis go there. But then at one point, Srimati Radharani comes. And it is mentioned in the pastime that Lord Narayan cannot maintain his Chakra Padma Gada and club. Like he is not able to maintain his form. They all disappear actually. And Krishna comes in his form. And then there is the pastime goes on. So the interesting point is, one should search for Krishna in that knowledge. We are going through in our study, we are going through the Uddhava Gita section of Bhagavatam 11.11. In that 29 to 32 verse, Krishna tells Uddhava about the qualities of a devotee, and he gives 28 qualities of a devotee. And in that section, it is mentioned that there are, in of these 28 qualities, one quality is known as Swarupa Lakshana, and that is Mat Sharanam. Krishna says that quality where the devotee only wants Krishna, no one else. That is the Swarupa Lakshana. And all the other qualities, other 27 qualities are Tatastha Lakshana. Tatastha Lakshana means they are the secondary qualities. The devotee can have those qualities, but they are not so important. If the devotee does not have one or two of the other qualities, that's okay. But the Swarupa Lakshana, which is Mat Sharanam, Krishna, devotee is only exclusively surrendered on the Supreme Lord. That is important, that the devotee should have. So in that section, Uddhava Gita, Krishna explains this 28 qualities. As it is mentioned, akam sarva kama moksha kama udari tikrena bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. So whatever desires you have, whether you are having any desires or don't have any desires, or desire liberation, or all the desires, all the material desires, but you should only surrender, you should only approach the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this is what means as real knowledge, knowledge of the Lord. So this particular knowledge, how does it act? When you know, like suppose if you have a friend, and if you are in need, when you know the supremacy of your friend, or you know the qualities of your friend, that he is very rich, he is very influential, he can do anything easily, then whenever you are in difficulty, what will you do? You will immediately call that friend. Two things are here. One is you know the qualities of your friend, and the second is you know that if you go to him, he will reciprocate, he will not tell you no. So these are the two things which make you go to that friend. Right? So the first quality is you understand that he is powerful or he is qualified. So that one first knowledge should be there. And the second is you should have a relationship that you understand that when you approach him, he will always help you. So this is exactly what we need with Krishna. And when, how can we get that kind of knowledge? By scriptures. By Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all the scriptures, the Acharya, the songs of the Acharyas, we understand that he is the supreme. He has got all the. He is most powerful. He is.
Most knowledgeable.
Sorry?
Most knowledgeable.
Most. Six qualities are given by Parashurandi. But I was thinking of the three other.
Most wealthy.
No.
Most beautiful.
I got more than this.
More than us.
And it's written. So, when you know the qualities of the Lord, then you will approach him. And then you know that Lord is your best friend. So, by knowing these two things, we can approach the Lord, and that is real knowledge. And then the third thing that you mentioned, Srila Prabhupada tells in the purport, is the real goal of life is to attain devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God. So this process of devotional service is very powerful. Actually, I wanted to tell one short story. There was one very miserly Brahmana, and he was so miserly that he would never give anything to the Lord or never do anything for the devotees. And he was so miserly, it is explained that he used to tie wet cloth on his stomach so tightly whenever he used to feel hungry, so that he does not have to eat. And if he ever has to eat something, he will eat some puff rice. He will just take some puff rice and eat them. And again tie the belt more tightly so that he does not feel the pains of hunger. So one day while he was eating this puff rice, there was a wind which blew all these puff rice away. And as soon as he saw that these puff rice are going in air and cannot control them, he said, Govindam Arpanam Tava. So he offered all those puff rice to Govinda, because in his life he is not able to save them anyways. So let me offer it to the Lord. So like this, life went on, and after his death he went to Yamraj. And now Yamraj looked at his accounts and he said, whole life you have never done anything good, but just once unintentionally and unwillingly you offered to the Lord. For that you get 5 minutes in heaven, and because of all your sins you get 1,000 years in hell. So what would you want first? 1,000 years in hell or 5 minutes in heaven? So now this Brahmana thought, he said, let me enjoy this 5 minutes first, and then anyways suffering for 1,000 years. So he said to Yamraj, let me go to heaven for 5 minutes and then go to hell. So Yamraj said, Tathasu. Immediately went into the heaven and he saw beautiful gardens there. And now he has only 5 minutes. What to do? How much he can do? Right? So he started plucking all the flowers from the garden and offering Govindam Arpanam Dava. Govindam Arpanam Dava. Govindam Arpanam Dava. For 5 minutes he did that. And then 5 minutes were over, he immediately came back in front of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, okay, now let me check which hell should I send it to you. Because your time is up. Your hell time starts now. So he was looking into the accounts and there was no account of any sinful activities. And Yamaraj was shocked and he said, what did you do there? And when he saw that he offered devotional service to the Lord, so the devotion, the point is, the devotional service is so powerful that it can, and Prabhupada makes this point in his Thakura as well, devotional service is so powerful that one cannot, one gets dedicated to all the sinful activities that one can commit in these one's lifetimes. So that is the power of devotional service. So this is, as Srila Prabhupada makes this point, one should perform devotional service to understand the real goal of life is what is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this story shows this. And the last section, is what a devotional institute should be. And Prabhupada makes this point that today's devotional institutes, all the institutes that we see, the churches, mosques, the temples, they are, the priests who are there, they are not giving the real knowledge and they are not engaging the people in real activities. They are just engaging the people in ritualistic activities. And because of which, people who are educated, they are not interested in following those ritualistic activities. So, Srila Prabhupada makes this point, so make use of this Krishna consciousness movement. He's saying ISKCON. So how does ISKCON work? What is the main business of ISKCON? Actually, if you analyze, ISKCON's main business is to spread the knowledge. We are not like Prashad Institute. We are, Srila Prabhupada has extensively given all this sastra. He has written so many books. Our acharyas, the whole lineage, has given sastras. So those sastras are basically the knowledge. So ISKCON is not about prasadam, it's not about anything else, but it is knowledge. So the way ISKCON works is Srila Prabhupada emphasizes on Bodhisattva. So when people read these books, what happens? They come to temple. When they come to temple, they eat prasadam, of course, and associate with devotees. And when they associate with devotees, eat prasadam, they become purified to understand that knowledge. So then they enroll in one of the courses that we have, right? Bhakti Sastri, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Vedanta, all these courses, right? So they engage in one of those courses, they acquire more knowledge, and at the end, what do they do? They chant attentively. So the process is, the Yuga Dharma is chanting Harinam Sankirtanam. That's a Yuga Dharma. But one does not reach there until he is having a real knowledge. And that real knowledge is what ISKCON is giving. As Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, this Krishna consciousness movement, and one should take advantage. He is asking everyone to take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement. Because that is the, because the whole purpose of ISKCON is to spread the knowledge of Krishna, which is real knowledge. So I'll stop here. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Or corrections? Okay, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.